This is So You Think You Know Jesus, a podcast that will challenge Christian paradigms, uproot traditions of man, and in the end, energize your faith by grounding you in solid biblical truths as you learn to see Scripture through the eyes of the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua. Welcome, author and speaker Rabbi Jeff Grillo of the Rock of Israel Congregation in North Carolina, a Messianic synagogue that is part of the National Jewish Fellowship of the Assemblies of God. Now, Rabbi Jeff.
All right. Shalom, shalom, and welcome to yet another episode of So You Think You Know Jesus, a podcast that is a ministry outreach of the Rock of Israel Congregation in Hickory, North Carolina, now also in Statesville. Please see our website, myroic.org, for service times and locations. And we are hoping to be adding another location here before too long. Lots of exciting developments if you are ever in Western North Carolina, a little north of the Charlotte area, please come stop by and visit with us. Today, we are going to be looking at something pretty neat. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 9, and we're going to be getting a little Paul Harvey on you, you know, where Paul would give you, now you know the rest of the story. We're going to give you the story behind the story, if you will, on the rainbow. And we're not going down the road of how it's been hijacked by a movement or how it's been altered by that same movement. But we are simply going to speak of it as a covenantal sign or symbol, if you will, that the Lord made with all of mankind. And I'm going to show you how, maybe you've never thought of it this way, but the reality is the rainbow points to Yeshua. And maybe you've never heard that. We're going to show you something really neat here. So let's talk about the Hebrew word for rainbow. It's keshet. And the transliteration spelling is Q-E-S-E-T. It looks like it should be keset, but it's pronounced keshet. And it is found in your Bible, Genesis to Revelation, some 77 times. We'll do it this way. So only three times it is listed, if you look it up on your Blue Letter Bible or your Strong's Concordance or whatever concordance app you may be using, each one might define it slightly differently. But on the Strong's, the Three Blue Letter Bible, it listed it as miscellaneous three times. And those three times are the three times it is found here in Genesis chapter 9, and we'll talk about that in a second. And 68 times, the vast majority, right, it refers to a bow, not a rainbow, but just a bow, as in a bow and arrow, as in a weapon of war, right? And six times, if my math is correct, is what is left. Six times it refers to the strength of a nation. For example, when you hear a phrase like the bow of Elam, it's the strength of a nation. So I will paraphrase. If we go back to chapter 9, just read it. And it's a section of scripture that is very familiar to you, no doubt. And it is where God is, he has just completed waging war, if you will, on the entire Eretz, on the entire earth. He has destroyed all manner of life that was on the land. He had destroyed all of humanity except the eight that were on the ark. He had destroyed all of the animals except those who were brought onto the ark. So he had just waged war because of man's sin. It had grown so bad, so intense, that every thought of his heart was for evil only all the time. And that's why God had to do what he had to do. And his plan was to start over, clearly. We know that now, looking back. But there is some symbolism here in the rainbow, where God says that, you know, never again would he do this. Never again would he destroy humanity in this way. And as a sign, he placed his chesed, his bow, in the clouds, that when he sees it, he would be reminded of this covenant that he made with man, never to destroy them again. And of course, you cited folks, and even this blind fella here, I used to be able to see, so I have pretty vivid memories of what a rainbow looks like, that arch coming down out of the clouds. And depending on your position, and, you know, it may look more dramatic and huge than in others. And never did find my bowl of Lucky Charms at the end of one, but in all seriousness, this rainbow, again, the vast majority of the time that Kesheth is used, it is used as a weapon of war or the strength of a nation. So God places this as a sign in the clouds. And if you think about how that arch is formed, it's as though, you've got an arrow in a bow and arrow, right? And you're pulling it back. What happens? That bow begins to arch. And if you think about the rainbow that you see after the rain and the sun comes through the cloud, where is that bow pointing? It's arched towards the heavens. God set his rainbow in the sky, in the clouds, pointing, essentially, think about this, at himself. This is a foreshadowing of the day that God himself would step out of heaven, take on a tent of flesh, and dwell amongst men, as John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later on in that chapter, we read that that Word became flesh and tabernacled. It dwelt amongst us. And we know that on the execution cross, or the execution stake, the cross of Calvary, we know that as Yeshua fulfilled the scripture where it says, cursed is he who hangs on a tree. He became a curse for us. And instead of God focusing and aiming his wrath upon humanity again, he turned his wrath upon himself, upon the only begotten Son, Yeshua HaMashiach ben Elohim, Jesus the Messiah, Son of God. His wrath was poured out upon him. And that, my friends, is worth knowing, it's worth shouting about, it's worth understanding, it's worth thinking about. The next time you see a rainbow, it's not just a beautiful apparition in the sky, it's not just a cool throwback to this chapter in Genesis, after the flood. But rather, I hope going forward, it is a reminder that from the beginning, God knew what the plan would be. He knew man would fall, but he created us anyway, knowing that the only way to redeem us was to turn his own wrath upon himself and pay a debt he did not owe for those of us, you and me, who owed a debt that we could not pay. It's so cliche, but it is so perfect, and it is so true. Listen, I hope you are blessed by this teaching, and it's a short one, but I just want you to focus on this. And until next time, God bless.
Thanks for learning with us today. For more information and resources, or to invite Rabbi Jeff to speak at your church or next event, call 1-828-201-2883. Once again, that's 1-828-201-2883. Or visit myroic.org. That's myroic.org. Shalom.